Welcome to the Within You podcast. I'm your host and wellness big sis, Rebecca Lee. My mission is to help guide and empower you to grow into the best, most authentic version of you so that living and feeling your best life becomes effortless. Here on the Within You podcast, we will be diving deep on all things wellness, mindset tips, motivation, and living an overall holistic, healthy lifestyle. Think of this podcast as your daily dose of self-development, where a positive mindset and holistic wellness come together. Now, let's get into the episode, but before we do, don't forget that it all starts within you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited that you tuned in for today's episode because today we have a fabulous, amazing guest with us, Miss Erica. Please say hello.
Hi.
We're so happy and excited to bring you on today.
I'm so excited too. When I connected with you over my podcast, I was like, this girl is such a light and she gets it and she's so connected. And I was so excited to have another time to chat with you.
I know, me too. I loved coming on your podcast too when I was in New York back in like the fall in September, October. And I was just thinking about other guests that I wanted to bring on for this like next season of my podcast. And I was like, we got to bring Erica. She has the best energy. She knows what she's talking about. And her meditations are amazing. I've done a few one-on-one meditations with you. And after every single one, I've like felt an energetic shift afterwards.
Oh, I have chills. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So I guess let's get started and just telling the community a little bit more about you and your journey and how you got into, you know, everything that you're doing now.
Sure. So my journey started back in 2016, 2017, when I was experiencing really debilitating health anxiety. Every doctor I would go to, they would look at me and say, you know that you have anxiety, right? And you should probably do something about it. And I didn't know what that meant or what I should do. But I knew something had to change. I started to really recognize it. I was having panic attacks that felt like heart attacks. Like I would just turn white. My lips would be white. The blood would leave my face and it would last a little while. And I was just like, I can't live like this anymore. I was living in such a state of fear constantly, fight or flight, like to the max. I really, really feel and understand what that term means because I lived through it for so long. And I came to this fork in the road of like, okay, I know I need to do something. I'm just not sure what it was. I started to open up a bit to spirituality. I had friends who were quote unquote spiritual and talking about angels and guides and meditation and journaling. And I looked at them and I was like, they're spending their time creating and thinking about and dreaming about what they want in their life. And I'm spending every waking moment in fear and thinking and concentrating and putting my energy towards what I don't want. And I was like, okay, I'm the wrong one here for sure. And I need to find a way to change this. And serendipitously, I stumbled upon the practice of Kundalini. It was before our phones were listening to us and just serving us everything we're thinking about. It was 2017, way before that algorithm shift. And it popped up on my phone and I was just so guided to it. It was the first time I heard the voice of my higher self. It was like, you need to do this. And I was like, oh, hello, who are you? Okay, I'm going to do this. And I remember texting my friend who was like my spiritual guide at the time, being like, sending her a screenshot, being like, do you think this is legit? Should I try this? I didn't even wait for her to answer me back. I'm like, this is where I need to be. This is what I need to do. I practiced 3 to 5 minutes of a breath technique. And I felt euphoric. Like I felt every bit of anxiety and stress leave my body for that moment. I was like, wow, this is what calmness must feel like in your body. And I'm going to do this every single day. And I'm going to keep doing it until I feel good. And that's what I did. And it guided me here.
Wow. Wow. I really do Love that story because I feel like so many of us who get into this whole world have started with some sort of trouble or challenge that they needed to overcome. You know, you were facing debilitating anxiety and panic, like panic attacks. It must have been so horrible. So when you find something that helps you, it's just such a game changer. And so I guess for everyone listening who maybe don't even know what Kundalini is, can you explain what that practice actually looks like?
Yeah. So when I started, I had no idea what it was. I was chanting. If for those of you who are familiar with it, we chant a mantra before we tune in. It's not in English. And I was chanting these things, had no idea what I was saying or doing, but I just knew it worked. And that's what kept me coming back to it. And then finally, it worked so much that I was like, I need to go and learn more about all of this and figure out the science behind this and why this is impacting me in such a profound way. But it's an ancient practice. It originates in India. And it is a practice that consists of breath work, which was my gateway into all of this. Just by saying breath work, I like think we all need to just take a breath and connect to our breath. And then there's breath work, there's mantra, chanting mantra, using sound to heal, to move your energy, to bring your energy into alignment. There's movement, the yoga part of it, which is different than the yoga like vinyasa or what we may be more familiar with just in the United States and how we practice yoga. It's a lot more of poses, postures, along with pranayama or breath work that supports it. And then, of course, meditation. So it's those four pillars: yoga, meditation, mantra, and breath work. And it's a powerful and potent practice that works with our 10 bodies. So in Kundalini, we study that there's more than just this physical body. There are 10 bodies, and this practice helps us to access and bring, I call it, like the whole team together and have us moving in this one direction. And it's also known as an express train to higher consciousness, to awareness, the yoga of awareness, because it helps us to become a master of our mind through mastering our breath. And from that, we become more of an observer. Like, we can look at ourselves and see patterns and see habits that are no longer serving us and have this newfound awareness and more perspective than we've had prior to the practice.
Okay. I didn't really even know all of the details of Kundalini. So it's so cool to see how it really intertwines so many powerful tools into one. So it's more than just like, hey, sit down and close your eyes and meditate.
Yes. Which is so hard. I mean, if you are an anxious mess like I was, if someone told me to sit down and meditate, I would have gotten nowhere at that time. Now I could sit down just when I said breath work, like taking a big deep breath. Now I could tap into meditation like this. But at the time I couldn't, and I needed movement. I needed to move that energy so eventually I could be able to sit down and tap into my breath and tap into meditation. So it's a very active meditation. And I think some people who aren't familiar with meditation or different types of meditation visualize someone just sitting there doing what appears to be nothing, but connecting to whether it be their breath or their visualization. This has some wild movements. It has some wild breath work, and it could be a workout depending on what avenue you're taking. And I think that's the coolest part about it, because it helps us to move our energy and then be able to sit in this elevated state.
Okay. I like that a lot, because I actually wanted to ask about the energetic, like the energy piece of it, because I know that our breath can move stagnant energy throughout the body, right?
Yes.
So that's really interesting to think about, because meditation, sometimes you're right, if you're anxious and you're already not feeling good, you're just sitting more in those emotions.
Yeah.
Versus if you incorporate the breath, you can actually move any stagnant energy throughout the body.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So if someone's listening and they're like, I'm a beginner, I've never even done breath work, I like have barely even meditated, and they want to start getting into it, what tips do you have for them to actually start using this like super powerful tool to change their lives?
I swear by starting with 3 to 5 minutes every day, because that's what my journey started with. And it got me now to be in a place where I can meditate for hours if I wish to. And it helped reset my entire nervous system. It helped. And when we reset the nervous system and command the nervous system, every other system is impacted. Like, I've seen a huge shift in my digestion just by really getting my nervous system in check and bringing it to a calmer and more grounded, secure place. So if you're just starting out, I swear by 3 to 5 minutes of whichever breath technique you're guided to each morning, first thing in the morning, and I'm going to tell you why, it's preventative. So before you go out into your day, before you engage in any other energy, you are working on your own energy. You're working on what you're carrying from yesterday into this morning, and you're clearing what needs to go. You're setting intention. You're bringing your focus onto what you want to amplify, what you wish to bring into this day. And then every other interaction is from a higher place because you did that for yourself. So it's preventative. You'll have a higher resistance to stress and you won't be as reactive. I do want to say, if you practice this at any time, you're going to feel the benefits. You're going to feel a shift, but you're going to get the most bang for your buck if you start in the morning because of those reasons. And it's been such a passion of mine to make the practice attainable and approachable. Because if you're in LA or if you're in a major city, because there's not a lot of Kundalini studios anywhere, but if you are interested in Kundalini, you would typically go to a studio and you would go into a 90-minute class. And that could be really intimidating. It's life-changing, but for a beginner, it can just feel like a lot. So breaking this up, chunking it, and having, I have offerings for 3, 5, 10 minutes that you can find a shift so that you could build yourself up to wherever it is you want to be in your practice. Maybe you want to stick with 3 to 5 minutes for the rest of your life and that can do it for you. Or maybe you want to just start slow and grow from there. But I really swear by the 3 to 5 minutes every morning.
I love that. And I love how you're making it more attainable, because I always talk about with meditation that even just starting my day with like, without my phone and laying on the ground or my couch and just breathing and closing my eyes for like 1 minute, even if it's not a full meditation, but just giving myself like a second in the morning to like be with myself, just like be grateful that I'm here, say an affirmation or two, like that small practice has changed my life. And I now am interested in trying Kundalini for 3 to 5 minutes every morning. So we're gonna have to talk about that. But I'm curious, do you have, because I know you have a platform, which we have to talk about too, your meditation platform. Do you have like a specific, like, hey, here's your 3 to 5 minute morning meditation?
Yes. So I have different sections on the app and on the platform, depending on what you want, what you need. So I have a Breath Express section. Those are all under 10 minutes and it's Kundalini, just brought into an express version. You can get everything in under 10. And then I even went from there to make a micro meditation section, which are all 5 minutes or less, so that you can get the breath, you could be in that energy, and you could start your day off in the quickest, but really potent and powerful way.
That's amazing. Okay. I'm gonna check it out, and I'm gonna do the morning, the quick ones in the morning. But that's incredible. And we'll definitely have the link for the platform in the show notes so people can check it out if they want to.
Yeah. I also created a code for your guests too.
Okay, great. We'll talk about it then. Yeah. Amazing. I just thought of this, you know, I actually wasn't even planning on asking you this or getting into it in this episode, but I just thought about how cool it is that you took your personal struggle, you overcame it, you found something that, you know, helped you overcome it. And now you're helping other people with, you know, struggles that you might have had, that you had with this powerful practice. And now this is your full-time thing. This is your business. So I know you used to be a teacher, right?
Yeah.
I want to get into the journey a little bit of like, sure, what it was like going from a school teacher to having your own meditation business. Like, wow, that's so epic.
Yeah, so I was a special education elementary school teacher for 11 years.
Wow.
And I loved that job. I loved everything it brought me, but I knew there was something else I was meant to do. So after I started journaling, when I first started journaling, before I even found Kundalini, I would write down in my journal, I know that I'm on this earth to empower other people. I know that I'm supposed to do something with movement and hopefully meditation as I start my journey on meditation. So I didn't even like really meditate yet, but I knew it was something about tapping into this higher aspect of ourselves. I would go to SoulCycle all the time and I would just feel so connected to that like exercise slash meditative state it would bring me to. So I would journal about this and I continue to teach. And once I found this practice, I truly felt like I found the secret that so many people have been looking for. And it helped me so much that I genuinely couldn't wait to share it with everyone. I just started talking about it to everyone I know. My husband was like, oh gosh, what is going on? What are you doing in the morning? What are you chanting? And he immediately saw a difference in me as well. So he was like, you know what? I don't even care what you're doing. You just keep doing it because
Yeah.
I see the change. So as I was practicing, I felt these immediate shifts, and I would go to school and teach, and all of a sudden, it was interesting. I knew I didn't want to teach forever. I knew there was something else for me, but by starting meditation, I realized the impact I had as a teacher and how important it was for me to take care of my energy before I got in a room of 20-something children. And I started to see how I approached them in school, my perspective around things, the patience, the newfound patience. I've always had patience, but I felt this new sense of patience and understanding for them. I was like, something's shifting within me, and it's from this practice, and I'm seeing it in every aspect of my life, everything I do, whether it's my relationships or teaching. So as I was teaching, I started to share a lot of mindfulness in the classroom. I still go back to my former school and I
Oh.
teach them. They have like a care camp day and I teach them meditation that day. But I started to implement this in the classroom. They loved it. Children are so open and they like
Oh.
remember this and they're just able to tap into it. But from there, I started teaching online as well on my platform in 2019. And so many people needed it, just as I suspected. And it really started to grow slowly, but pretty quickly, because by 2021, I was able to leave teaching, which was the scariest decision I've made thus far in my life. I worked at an amazing public elementary school where I was getting paid an incredible salary. And I had a beautiful job with beautiful families and children and teachers. The medical benefits, the pension, all the things
Right.
that so many people put such emphasis on, you know, for security. And it was the hardest decision. There was so much reprogramming I had to do because of all the things my parents had told me growing up and how important my job was and how it was just so good to be independent and have the safety net of it. And I had to work through so much to finally release that job. And when I did, I'll never forget the day I went to talk to my principal, who I love so much. And she looked at me and she was like, of course, that's what you're here to tell me. I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, I know it's time for you to go and you're going to help people in a different way and you're going to be so successful. And that was like, oh, okay, someone believes in me. Someone who's in this industry believes in my journey of leaving it and starting something else, and just already seeing the impact that was taking place. So that felt so good and brought so much more peace than she may ever know. But
Oh.
it was a big deal within me to do that.
I love how you touched on the inner work that you had to do too
Oh my
to
gosh.
overcome that, because I felt the exact same way when I was in the midst of quitting my corporate job to start something of my own. No one's really talking about how
much inner battle and struggle you have to overcome. It's more just everyone just talks about, okay, well, how much money did you make and how do you make like, it's just very physical and tangible. And it's like, wait, but like what, how much overcome, how much mind battles, inner battles we have to overcome to get to this point, you know?
Yes. And let me say what I've noticed. I've noticed that we have more than one voice in our head. We yes. have our human voice. We have the voice of our higher self. We have the voice of our ego. And we may have the voice of society, but we also really have the voice of our parents in our head. And this practice was really so impactful in helping me to weed out what was my truth. What is it my soul is meant to do here? What is it that is programmed into me that maybe I need to evolve from and I need to grow from? It's not easy at all. But having the practice, like I said, it's considered the yoga of awareness. It helps you to be more aware of your thoughts and where they come from. Sometimes I'll say things now, I'll be like, oops, sorry, that was my mom speaking. That wasn't me. Okay, now me. Because you become so aware of where your thoughts, your actions, your fears are coming from.
I love that distinction. Thank you for pointing that out because it's so true. And I think a lot of us heavily identify with the voice of our ego or our human self or our parents without even consciously realizing it. When in actuality, especially when you're making like big decisions on like leaving your job or leaving a relationship or where you're trying to move or these big decisions that require a lot of courage and a lot of fear to overcome, it's important that we really tap into the voice of our soul and our higher self to guide us in the right direction. So I guess I would ask you, how do we tap into the voice of our higher self and really come from that loving soul-led place?
Yeah. Getting quiet, really getting quiet with ourselves. And sometimes that takes 20, 30 minutes of intense Kundalini and breath work and movement. Sometimes that takes a run and then sitting and just connecting to your breath. Sometimes it takes a workout class, whatever it is, where you could just let go. But the silence needs to follow that space where you can just connect your breath and your higher self. That's where a lot of information comes through. And something I practice often is talking to, whether it be angels or guides or the universe, I talk to all of them. I'm just like, whatever I'm guided to that day, I'll be like, uni, hey, this is what I'm manifesting and this is what I want. And I just have conversations. It could be in the shower, it could be in the car, but developing that skill of chatting with your higher self, with the higher energy that's there, whether it's angels, guides, the universe, it helps to build that muscle. And over time, you start to be able to differentiate, is that thought a thought of mine? Is it a thought of fear? Or is this an intuitive message? And I think that's what people struggle with the most. And I've had so many people ask me, like, what's fear? What's intuition? You have to get really quiet. You have to listen to your body and how it feels when you receive a message or when you have a thought. And it just takes practice. It takes practice of being in meditation. Something else that these meditations help us to do is activate our glands. It's a practice for the endocrine system and the glandular system. And two glands that play a major role in our intuition are the pineal gland, the pituitary glands. And when we activate them, we're able to create the space within us to tune in to that portal that lives within us. So the more practice you can give yourself, and I have specific intuition meditations as well, but the more practice you can give yourself to closing your eyes, breathing, looking in and up to your third eye point to activate that space, you can open up your intuition. You can start to communicate with your higher self and your guides. And you can also do an activity of looking at an experience and be like, okay, what would my ego or my three-dimensional self say? What would my higher self say? And the higher self always is expansive. Let's do an example here. So like leaving my job, my ego would say, you're crazy. You're never going to have security. You're safe where you are. What if you don't make it? Those are all ego-based. And then my higher self would say, as long as I'm aligned, there's always opportunity to bring in income and to make aligned money. And to do by doing what I love, I will continue to stay abundant and aligned. And the ego feels really restrictive and uncomfortable. And the expanded self is like, oh, wow, I'm safe. And the universe is here to support me.
Yes. Yes. It's funny you answered my question because I was going to say, can you give us an example? And I'm like, yes, that's so true. That same exact thought process happened to me. And it still happens. Like I just made a decision, you know, to leave LA and to just travel for a bit. And it's like my ego is trying to hold me back so much. I'm like, well, what if that happens? What if this happens? But it's just a matter of your ego is trying to keep you safe. And keeping you safe is by trying to, by staying comfortable, you are safe, even if you're unhappy.
Exactly. And you said that in one of your podcasts, and I resonate so deeply with that, where we would choose an uncomfortable situation because it's safer rather than a blissful situation because it's the unknown. And people say like the heaven and hell, like a familiar hell to an unknown heaven.
Yep.
And it's so true. Like our parents really want to keep us safe and they just want us to be in the safest situation. And our ego is very similar. It just wants us to be safe. And the same is comfortable and it's safe versus the unknown. But the unknown is so expansive.
Wow. The unknown is so expansive. I love that. I'm going to keep that in the back of my head because I have a lot of unknowns coming up. And so keep staying in that reminder and that energy is always really helpful. And I think something else that I love about the unknown, I was talking to a friend about this yesterday, is that you never know what can happen when you live in that state. Like literally tomorrow, you could meet someone that changes your life forever. Tomorrow, you get an opportunity like that changes your life forever. Like I love living in that excitement of like, oh my God, things could change tomorrow. I could meet my husband next week. Like you never know what can happen. And so when you start to live from that like excited standpoint of the unknown, it's so much more enjoyable because it's not like, oh my God, my world's falling apart. It's like, wait, no, like literally that game changer could happen tomorrow.
And that is a choice you make every day. And that's a choice we all have to make every day. And in the beginning of my journey, before I even found meditation, I knew I needed to reset my mind. And that's actually how I did it. So I would have these thoughts of fear and I would say, okay, no, we're going to swap that because if I'm going to live in this imaginary place, I'm going to make it really comfortable and beautiful and expansive rather than so fear-based. And anyone listening can start to practice that literally right now. So in Rebecca's example, it's like, I don't know what tomorrow looks like and that's so scary, or anything can shift and change for the better tomorrow. And in every moment, we have that choice to redirect our thoughts and bring in the more expansive thought. And that's a great exercise to just start practicing to start to strengthen and expand your aura. Because when we feel comfortable and confident and secure, our aura expands. And then we can pull in through that strengthened aura. We could pull in more opportunities that are aligned. And we just present ourselves in our life and our world differently when our mindset is different.
Ooh, let's talk about the aura. How do we get that magnetism, right? Because I feel like when you have a strong aura, I just envision you are like radiant, like magnetic. You're just, you don't even have to try to bring things in. They just appear.
So in Kundalini, we learned that doubt will steal up to 3 feet of our aura. So our aura could be typically 6 feet, but I think it could be even more expansive than that. But it's basically 6 feet all around us. When we have thoughts of doubt, it's literally shrinking our magnetism. It's shrinking our power. So of course, fear is another one that would shrink and steal that. And when we have a really strong, vibrant aura, we're healthier. We're more radiant, just as you said. Our immunity is better. And when we have a weaker aura, we're more susceptible. Like one little thing can happen outside of us and we're like just thrown off completely. So to strengthen the aura, there's so many practices within Kundalini. Just by practicing breath work, you could strengthen your aura. There's also aura sweeps that I love to do before my practice, where you literally sweep your arms up as you inhale, sweep them down as you exhale, sweeping out anything from there that needs to be released. You can visualize. I was actually looking at your aura before, because when you have a very plain background and you're in front of it, it makes it a lot easier to see the light that's coming off of you. So I saw it beautiful and clearly before, really strong. But other things you can do to strengthen the aura is visualize it. Closing your eyes, visualizing this light and this protective shield around you, watching it expands, feeling that from your center. And then I also have specific meditations for the aura as well.
Wow. I love that. Thanks for looking at my aura.
I couldn't help it. It was just popping out.
It's funny because I feel like I used to be someone who was really skeptical about this stuff. Like if I heard, oh, just visualize your aura, I would like roll my eyes, because I'd be like, what does that even mean? Like I used to be so more like, I don't know. I just used to be skeptical about these things. Yeah. And then after seeing how much my life has changed over the past few years, tapping more into these practices that are maybe not as mainstream, I just have seen the power that comes with it. And I'm obviously such a big believer in it. I'm curious, if someone's listening and they may be more skeptical about this stuff, like what would you tell them? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. We want physical evidence of right. Whatever it is we believe in. We want to see it because we're living in this 3D plane. But when you start to think about someone and then all of a sudden you have a text from them or a DM from them almost instantaneously, or something gets brought into your mind and you step outside and you see that exact thing, or you have this feeling of an opportunity and it comes to your door, these things just become undeniable that you laugh. Like I have chills talking about that right now because it becomes undeniable and you start to laugh. You're like, this is the best game I've ever played, this game of life. Like it's so exciting and it's always been there. But depending on our frequency, that's going to impact how we receive it. So I think for someone who is doubtful, you can be, and that's fine, but it's a hell of a lot more expansive to try and just experiment. That's how this whole journey started with me. I experimented with that little mindset game. Like, I'm just going to think about the alternative, the positive, the more expansive thought, and see what happens. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, guess what? I still felt much better than if I was thinking those thoughts of fear or those negative thoughts. So just move about it as an experiment. Do your own little test. See how it goes. You don't have to believe me. You can see what comes into your life. And if it works for you and you start to see the evidence and you start to see it flow in, wonderful. And I know that when we do things that elevate our frequency, it becomes hard not to see it. Yes. And we can elevate our frequency by being in nature, by being in the sun, by eating well for our bodies, by meditation, by breath work, by mantra, whatever your choice is. Maybe you want to do a little bit of all of them, but as you elevate your frequency, you change. So what you see and what you experience absolutely changes.
I love that. Goes back to so many things that I always preach, you know, that you really have nothing to lose by holding on to a more positive mindset. Exactly. You have nothing to lose, so at least try. And I mean, the name of this podcast, Within You, you know, it's like you really do start to do the inner work. You change your inner frequency and everything else around you just starts falling into place. So
yeah,
I totally love that. Are there any morning practices or routines that you do specifically to, you know, keep your vibration high, keep your aura strong, you know, start the day right? Like, what are some practices that you do that you think can really help with all those things?
I literally roll out of bed and get on my meditation cushion, like not exaggerating. If I have to use the bathroom, I will, but nothing much is happening before that because we will find every excuse to not get there. And we're living in the time of the greatest distractions. We can be so easily distracted, like picking up your phone, what you spoke about. So I immediately go onto my meditation mat. Some things right now that I'm doing within my meditation every single morning is a cat cow, but a Kundalini cat cow is a little different. It's kind of like a torque, and you have this like inhale, exhale, inhale, exhale. It moves so much energy. It strengthens your aura. It's great for your hair, glow on your face. There's these physical, but also spiritual benefits. And then after that, ego eradicator, where you come into a tight fist with your four fingers, your thumbs extend, you bring your arms up into a V, and you do a breath of fire, which is like pumping the navel for 3 minutes, 3 minutes cacao, 3 minutes breath of fire, for ego eradicator. And that helps to get your ego in check, also helps to strengthen your aura. It helps to really get any habits or addictions that are underlying that aren't serving you, bringing your awareness to them so that you can release them. Oxygenates your blood. You're feeling good after those 6 minutes. And then from there, I do a few other exercises and then go into a breathwork meditation where I'm just connecting to my breath, breathing. And after every single meditation, I will tap into gratitude for all that is. I'll visualize all that I want to bring in, all that I want to come. And then I'll seal off my practice. I do all that next to a window or my doors at home where I can see the light. I could see the sky. That's where I feel most connected in nature. And then from there, I always do lemon water. I do like about 32 ounces before I eat anything. And it just really has helped like regulate and hydrate. I feel like almost half my hydration for the day is done before I even like started my day. And it feels really good. And then I'll have a mushroom latte because I love them. I don't know if you've ever tried Clever. I'm obsessed with Clever.
No, so I need good. To try. You not drink caffeine?
I do. Well, there's like 35 milligrams. It's really not a lot. Mm. Or I'll have like the Symbiotica matcha, which I really like too. But I love mushrooms. I cut out coffee when I was having panic attacks for obvious reasons. And then I just stopped drinking coffee for 7 years. And now it's just like, if I do drink it, it's much more mindful, like with food and just more intentional. But you know, if your body can handle it, it can handle it. I'm very sensitive. So I do less caffeine, but more mushrooms. It feels so good. And I think that's it for my morning. Sometimes I'll read a little bit before I get started on like one-on-one meditations or live meditations. But yeah, that's my morning.
Beautiful, beautiful. I can totally relate to the coffee and anxiety thing.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that.
I literally had to switch to matcha because my body's so sensitive to the caffeine too. And I'm like, okay, we got some matcha to balance out all the anxiety, but I need to try mushrooms too. I feel like I'd really love it.
Mm-hmm. Really good.
There's so many benefits to it.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay. I love that morning routine. I also have another question because I don't know, I was thinking about it and I feel like right now to kind of make it more relevant to like literally what's happening in this moment, I feel like there's a lot of new energy with spring equinox, the eclipses. Like, I just feel like I'm talking to a lot of different people and like, it's like we're coming out of hibernation mode from winter. And I always do feel like, I mean, obviously we're a part of nature, right? We are a part of the seasons. And I sometimes love connecting back to what we're actually meant to be doing in each season.
Yeah.
And I do feel like right now with spring coming up, a lot of new emotions and energy is coming up. So I guess I would ask you, like, are you feeling this energy? What do you do, especially maybe during some like harder moments or if you have more difficult things to deal with or, you know, just when there's more things coming up, I just am curious to hear your thoughts. Cause I know we talked before about, we were voice noting back and forth of like riding these highs and lows of life and just a lot of things coming up at the moment. So I guess I just want to know more of your thoughts and your experience with all that.
Yeah. So I do feel like prior to the equinox, it was like a really rough time for a lot of people. A lot of people are just going through it, myself being one of them. And with the equinoxes, and with there's two equinoxes a year, two solstices a year, and we have the eclipse season that just got started yesterday. That's whether I'm going through a tough time or whether there's big astrological events, I'm doubling down on my practice because my practice I know is what grounds me. It's what centers me in my physical body, but also connects me to that divine energy that I have access to, that we all have access to. And that the equinox days, the solstice days, the eclipse days, all kind of like blast the earth with a different type of energy. We're receiving energy to the earth in a different way. And we feel it on full moons too, any full moon, whether it's an eclipse full moon or just a regular full moon. So there are just some days that are more powerful and they will amplify the practice. And I use them as a reminder to be like, okay, this is an extra potent day. So the work I put in today, the meditation I put in today will just be amplified. It's going to work for me. And I just make sure to carve out more time with that. So we just had the full moon eclipse in Libra yesterday. We're going into the new moon eclipse in Aries in April, early to mid-April. And it's another opportunity. The new moon eclipse, or the solar eclipse, is going to be a good time to set intention for the rest of the year, where the full moons are typically releasing, letting go, clearing out. And sometimes it's not us doing it, it's the universe being like, whoop, that's not for you anymore. And all of a sudden, there's this massive change, and it could feel uncomfortable. Change can feel really uncomfortable. But again, it's going into that trust and that faith of the unknown, of the unseen. And that just feels so much more expansive because you're able to flow with what life brings you rather than try to resist it.
So true. I feel that in my core. Like yesterday, the past week, like leading up, it does feel like a big energetic clearing. And it's nice to know that sometimes we are just going through those energetic shifts and it's not us. There's nothing wrong. It's just a matter of like working with the energies and allowing us to feel and allowing us to be throughout with it too.
And trusting, I always go back to doing what we need to do to feel good in our bodies and connected to our higher self. And then just knowing that there's this greater plan as well. We could do all the things, but at the end of the day, there is this greater plan and to trust in that plan.
Totally, totally. That makes life so much more enjoyable and less stressful. Like you don't need to stress all the time about it. Just relax and like enjoy almost, you know?
As the observer, like you're watching, like,
Yes.
oh, this is interesting. Not how I would have chosen it, but I'm gonna roll with it.
Yes. So we're coming to the end of our time here, but I wanted to close out the episode with asking you one final question. I usually ask my guests this at the end because my podcast is very like big sis energy advice. So I want to ask you if there was one piece of advice that you would give your younger self, what would it be to close out this episode?
I think it really goes back to the theme that we've been talking about because I'm thinking of like my 20-year-old self, my even up to 27 years old. I was so fearful. I didn't believe in a higher power. I didn't believe that there was something greater. So I think the advice I would give would be take a deep breath, connect to yourself, connect to your body. And trust, know that there is a greater plan and know that you're a co-creator. So you are creating alongside the universe. Some things are out of our hands, some things are in our hands. And by projecting that positive energy and projecting out what you want, you will see a shift in your life and you will be able to manifest. I think that would be my biggest message to my younger self who was just riddled with anxiety and in such a state of fear.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that so much. Thank you, Erica, for joining us today and sharing your beautiful energy and just words with us. I know that the listeners are going to get so much out of this. So how can they connect with you deeper?
I'm always on Instagram. You can always DM me if you have any questions about anything we chatted about today. I live for the DMs because I just love introducing people to the practice. I know the power of it, and I know when someone's guided to it, it's typically for a reason, and they can just experience such a great impact. So I'm at inkale.xkale on Instagram. I also have a podcast, which is Evolved by Erica, the podcast. It's available Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and then my website, evolvedbyerica.com. And from there, you can, if you wish to, you could sign up for, actually, it's not a 7-day free trial. I'm going to offer your listeners a month free.
Ooh.
With the code within you will be the code. I'll give you the link too, so you could link it.
Perfect.
And you can try out a month free, just being part of Rebecca's community. And yeah, you could always touch base through email through the website as well.
Amazing. Amazing. I definitely am going to check out the platform now and do the 3 to 5 minute morning meditation. So I can't wait.
Good. I'll be so happy for you to experience them, and you have to let me know how they go for you.
I will. Thank you so much, Erica.
Thank you.